SACO and SASA contract, the insourcing of functions, in particular excluding those of the cash payment services, which will be covered in the report, and enrollment functions that have been sourced and the card issuance, then the extension of the CPS contract for the cash payment services will be covered in detail in the report, and also the report will focus on the activities for the plans that you put in place to ensure that you continue paying even beyond the end of September at the end of this current extended contract for cash payment services. I will hand over to the head of strategy, Mamukuba, to do the detailed presentation on our co-chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Member. The presentation today, I will start to give the presentation outline. We look at the purpose, the background, and we will also give the current payment outlook just to summarize what is the situation in terms of payment and how we've dealt with the migration of, we are dealing with the migration of beneficiaries from the current single card to the new SASA card. We also talk about the decommissioning of PayPoint in certain areas where there's infrastructure and SACO branches. We'll talk to the cash reduction plan and alternative benefit strategies for beneficiaries who are residing outside the payment infrastructure, and also our communication plan and the risk mitigation. The purpose of the presentation is to brief the committee in terms of SACO's plans to execute migration of beneficiaries from the old SACO card to the new SACO card in order to enable the phasing out of CPS. Also, we look into the plan to decommission PayPoint in areas where there's sufficient payment infrastructure, and also deal with the payment reduction plan and the alternative strategies for beneficiaries. Just in terms of the background, in February, SASA approached the Constitutional Court again, this time to request a further extension of the suspension of declaration of invalidity of the contract with CPS, but in this particular case, the request was only for cash payment services. If we go back to the services that CPS used to offer, they used to do biometric enrollment of beneficiaries, they used to do card issuance, they used to do card maintenance and card production, they used to do payment for all beneficiaries, including those that were using their personal bank account. So SASA would transfer all the money to CPS, and CPS does all the work. But what we have done with all other services, SASA has managed to take over all the responsibilities, or some of them have been outsourced in collaboration to SACO in line with our collaboration agreement. So when we approached the court, we were only going for cash payment because at the time we were working on the cash payment tender and we were aware that we would not be able to finalize it by the end of March. Therefore, we requested extension in order to give us time to go and finalize the tender. Subsequent to that, we looked at there were challenges with the cash tender process. There was a service provider that approached the minister and the department with complaints, but other than that, as we were working through the IMC, already when we issued the tender, we were working on 2.5 million beneficiaries. But by the time we were finished, by February, already the beneficiaries who were receiving money at cash point people had drastically reduced, and in line with the plans that we had made, it was clear that by the time we awarded the tender, there would not be 2.5. And therefore, you would end up awarding a tender to a service provider with 2.5, while you're going to send it less than 1 million beneficiaries. And therefore, a decision was taken. Looking at all the facts and the complaints that we have received from the other bidder, we realized that we may be taken to court unnecessarily, and therefore we had to relook at our strategy. Subsequent to that, SACO was approached to say, in line with the agreement that we had, SACO was supposed to do the electronic banking, and we approached them to say, as part of the payment system, we are requesting that SACO extend its services to cover also the cash beneficiaries, because in the service level agreement, it was still included, but as a May, not as a month. So that was amended just to ensure that we cover from SACO. But we look into the strategies to say, does SACO have the capacity, and how will we deal with it? Part of the agreement with SACO was that they were going to do the build, operate, and transfer, meaning that after 5 days, they will bring the services back to SACO. But as government, in terms of collaboration, we say that if you want somebody to put the necessary infrastructure and you are saying that go and invest and bring back the service after 5 years, automatically they'll be reluctant. So we have to review our strategy in terms of how we collaborate with SACO so that it becomes a government influenced infrastructure so that it can serve the community into the future. And the other thing that was important was that as we agree with SACO, part of it is that it's not profitable to ask the banks to go and develop infrastructure in rural areas or into most areas where it's not profit, there's no profit. But if you influence SACO, SACO is government, government will take the services there. So it's a long-term investment for government, the way we have looked at it. So the current service agreement with SACO is in the process of being reviewed to address the new element. The tender has been cancelled, and it was cancelled just last month. So we have had to go to SACO to say, review your work and let's re-strategize. So I'll give you progress in terms of where we are. But before I go into the progress, let me just give you a scenario of where we are in terms of the payment. In terms of the beneficiaries that are using biometrics for verification, currently we have, as of June, we have 1.9 million beneficiaries that are receiving money using biometric CVM. And most of them, they are those who go to cash pay points, they are those who go to ATMs, CPF, ATMs, and they are those who go to merchants. So most of the beneficiaries are flexible. They go wherever it's possible to collect their money. But the typical people who stay in pay points are less than a million. And the 1.9 are the ones that are facilitated by CPF, and these are the ones in line with the Constitutional Court extension. And if you go back to the pay plan of March and of April and May, the numbers used to be 3.1 million. It has gone down by 1.16 million. And this just reflects our commitment to say we want to place our CPF. So we've been aggressive in terms of reducing the numbers of CPF. So we don't want to come August and then we start to say CPF we are reducing. So every month we've been working on a strategy to reduce this number such that come August we are left with a very minimal number and September we have nothing to do with CPF. In terms of the beneficiaries that are receiving money at the bank, the pay file in its own is got 8 million, but of the 8 million, 1.2 million are receiving the money into their own commercial bank account. This excludes Greenroad. And then with Greenroad, in the pay file, we received 7.7 million. But of the 7.7 million, 5.6 are the ones that are still using the old SACO card, and the others are EPP cards, which we are seeking mandate from CPS before we can confirm that in future we will continue to pay in this account. And then now I'll go into what is our 5-month plan going forward. The guiding principle for the next 5 months for SACO is such that, one, CPS will be eliminated fully, removed, phased out by September 2018. Cash payments will be reduced drastically. So beneficiaries who stay in areas where there's developed payment infrastructure will be migrated to electronic forms of payment. And those that want to still use biometric for withdrawals, they can get into post office outlets for verification and payment. But in remote areas, we have developed an alternative strategy to address beneficiaries who are residing in areas where there's no payment infrastructure. Our new payment model is premised on SACO as the dominant player, but we also engage with the commercial banks and the retailers, such as Boxers, ShopRite, and all the big retailers in general, so that, and they've all agreed that they want to participate, and we are looking to. We are getting engagement with them to sign agreements with them so that they can provide services. And then the critical driver in the next 5 months is that we have to do cash swap as a matter of urgency. And because we have cancelled the cash payment tender, we have decided that our cash swap will prioritize primarily those people as cash pay points, because if they have a new card, then we'll be able to deposit money. But we will be phasing out the gold card of the old SACO card and introducing the new SACO card. And our cash swap program started in May, on the 7th of May. The first element in terms of the migration, the cash swap, there are more than 7 million beneficiaries who have the old SACO card. All those 7 million have to be swapped into the new SACO card. So we commence with those at cash pay coming in June, the numbers will start to go up. And then we also plan to migrate all beneficiaries. Our parents will be beneficiaries receiving social grants at pay points. And upon people receiving this new SASSA card, beneficiaries will now have the flexibility either to go to SAPO outlets to withdraw or use their banking infrastructure or go to retail merchants or any numerous point of sale devices that they have in the city accessibility in their residential area. In terms of the targets that we have put for ourselves in the next 6 months, in March we didn't have any targets for card swap. In April we had a target of 250,000 to do card swap, and the reason the target was low in May was that in April was that before you do issue any card in the industry, you have to produce it, take it to the industry for testing before the Banking Association or the Payment Association of South Africa can approve it. So we produced only 250,000, and then we take it to the industry and to all the banks to test it, and it was only approved at the end of April, and therefore we were able to start to produce more cards. So in the target for May was that we were planning to produce 2.3 million cards, and at the 25th of May, we had produced 1.4 million. Actually, we had produced more, but the ones that were distributed to the SASSA outlets were 1.4 million. The issue being, because we have the company that is producing is outside the country, so some of them were held at the airport, at customs at the airport, so they will be coming in, but we have also learned, we have started to engage the reserve bank so that we can speed up the process. So these cards, once they are available, they are distributed to the different outlets of SASSA. And then in terms of card swap for May, we were planning to do card swap for 214,520. By the 25th of May, we had done 63,248. However, during this weekend, there was massive card swap programs that were happening across the country. We haven't consolidated the statistics, but once it's updated, we can email it to members just for further information. And then in June, we are planning to intensify the card production to 4 million because now we have learned, we have dealt with all other challenges. The target is that by end of June, we want to have done the 2.5 million card swaps. Why? Because by end of June, we want to have completed all the cash beneficiaries in terms of the card swap program. And July, we are targeting to produce additional 4 million. The reason we are producing more than the required number is because you always have to have additional surplus in case there's a problems with any card, in case there's new beneficiaries, and in case people lose the card. So you always have some cushion for storage purposes. And in our intention is to do card swap for 7.9 million beneficiaries by end of August. In terms of the cash reduction strategy, of the 3.1 million beneficiaries that received social grants in April, 2.2 went to cash pay points, but the number has since been drastically reduced. SASSA has taken a decision to reduce the number of beneficiaries at cash pay points due to the following reasons. The country, when we developed cash pay points previously, there was lack of development in terms of payment infrastructure in the township and also in the rural areas. But right now we have fairly extensive infrastructure that has been developed. And also the beneficiary behavior shows us that the beneficiaries are no longer going to pay points as they used to. Some still go, but majority prefer to go to merchants and other outlets. And therefore, based on the statistics and the analysis, we have seen that who are the beneficiaries who prefer to go to cash pay points and who are those that are flexible. And if you have to adjust your strategy to align to that. The primary objective is that the beneficiaries who are currently collecting the money from the 8,086 active cash pay points are redirected to alternative methods. The target is to reduce the numbers from 2.2 to 800,000. So only 800,000 beneficiaries will be those that will be catered with the normal, the ones that are fairly, that fairly go to the cash pay points, and therefore our strategy in terms of the cash payments will be targeted to the 800. The end goal for SASSA is that over the long term we want to do away with the cash payment component because it's not a safe. And if you look at the cash hikes that are happening recently, you can see that it's not something that we can sustain over the long term. The critical to the cash reduction plan is also the card swap program, and will also be decommissioning of pay points because these pay points, some of them we are paying a lot in terms of the leases, and most of them, some of them, they are only paying hundreds of them and hundreds of people. So we need to be improvement our strategy and risk strategy. We are also investing in the upgrading of infrastructure for sample prices in order to absorb the high volumes of beneficiaries that will be coming as we close or decommission pay points. As indicated, once the beneficiaries receive the card, they will go to the outlet and the retail and the banking infrastructure to do the withdrawal. In terms of the target for cash payment reduction, in April we had 2.2. In May, the number reduced to 2 million. In June, we are targeting to, we are at 1.9, but we are hoping by the end of the payment cycle, those who actually went to the case, go to the cash payment, we are thinking that it will be less than 1.5. But based on, if we look at the statistics from last month, it can even be lower than that. In terms of the July, we are hoping to reduce the number to 1.2, and by end of August, we want to be have settled at, not by end of August, at the beginning of August, payment cycle, we want to have reached our ultimate goal of 789,000. And this will be done by card swap and also decommissioning of PayPal. We have also readjusted our payment files so that those beneficiaries who have PINs but still choose to go to the PayPal, we encourage them to utilize their PINs because they have been flexible and going either to the bank. If the payment date is on the weekend, those people will see that they rush to the bank. But if it's on a Monday, then they turn around and go to the cash people. So we started to also influence the behavior, beneficiary behavior. But we are also encouraging beneficiaries to say, you don't have to withdraw the money, buy, because it's not always safe to carry the money. So utilize the card also for other mechanisms. And then in terms of decommissioning of pay points, as I indicated, we had 8,086 active pay points, and we are projecting to reduce them to 3.121, and of the 3.121, there will be 789 beneficiaries. If you look at this table, it shows the per province, how many pay points we have per province. Like, for example, in Gauteng, we used to have 144 pay points. Our target was that in May, we will not decommission any pay points, but we have already decommissioned 51 pay points across the country, mainly in Free State and Mpumalanga and Gauteng. And then in June, we are planning to decommission 1,282, and majority will be in KZN and Eastern Cape. And we're hoping that by the end of August, we'll be remaining with 3,121, and the total to be closed will be 4,965. And of those pay points, will be remaining with 789,954. Of this, plus minus 800 beneficiaries, there's still child support grant beneficiaries that are included. And you know they are flexible in terms of behavior. So the number may even go down once people start to get used to other methods of payment. But our strategy in terms of alternatives that we are developing is to ensure that we ensure that this 789, although they will be getting the SASSA support card, they still need arrangement to say how do they withdraw the money. And the alternative strategy that we are putting in place is to ensure that now we take the money to them in order to for them to utilize that card. Our alternative plan is such that SABO will issue the card swap by end of July, the tax beneficiaries by end of July, and by August we'll start to ensure that these beneficiaries, SAPO is in the process of procuring mobile ATMs, which we will take to the remotest area. However, for those papers where there's few people, what we are planning is that we will be looking at the possibility of contracting local players to transport the beneficiaries to the nearest paypoint. We are also engaging with the South African National Defence Force and the South African Police to assist us in terms of getting to transport money to that area. SAPO is also extending its cash in transit contract to accommodate this arrangement that we are working on. Furthermore, there's Regulation 24 and Regulation 25, which allows beneficiaries to utilize procurators. So we are busy also encouraging beneficiaries, those that are fresh or older, to also acquire procurators to assist them to go and collect the money. Already within the payment file, we have our payment system. There are 308,000 people who are procurators who are receiving money on behalf of beneficiaries. So it's something that is workable and it's been utilized by SASSA for years. But the regulation further allows us even institutions within the community, some institutions can be re-encouraged to start collecting money on behalf of the beneficiaries. You put them in one account and the institution distributes to the people in the local area. We are also working on those possibilities, particularly where you have small groups of beneficiaries. In terms of the summary of our communication plan, we say that the successful implementation of the cash swap or whatever mechanism that we do, particularly in terms of decommissioning of the pay point, we also need to consult with the traditional leaders and community leaders and also beneficiaries. We have also contracted auxiliary social workers to do the house-to-house visits in order to encourage beneficiaries and tell them the benefits of doing the cash swap. But we were conscious to say, if you take auxiliary social workers, they know how to handle people. So you are avoiding this situation where you get people who can go and start to victimize older persons. So we were trying to get people who understand the care issues. That's why we went with prioritized auxiliary social workers. Department of Labor has also offered us some workers to assist in the process, and we're still working on the process around how we can contract them and, if it's possible, how to vet them, so that you avoid a situation where people take advantage of the beneficiaries. There will be targeted communication and marketing campaigns that we have already started. We have started with the advertisements in the radios and everywhere so that people can understand what is happening and what is happening to, what are the benefits. So we've just included a slide that shows some of the time frames that we are working on, when do we start and how far we need to. But the major thing that we are, is our main area right now, our main focus is the tax swap. Because if we can remove the CPS tax, then it's easier to remove CPS by end of August. We want to ensure that the tax swap is done before August. So that come August, when they buy the August report, we are already telling them that this is the last month and we are comfortable with that. And we can confirm to the committee that our plan is not to go back and ask for extension. That's why we are intensifying the tax swap process. In terms of the risk, our risk mainly is that there's inadequate staff of branches in terms of the physical infrastructure. Some of them, the branches are there, but they haven't been inactive for years. So we are working with SAPO to reactivate those branches, but also to upgrade the infrastructure of SAPO. And already we've done the costing of the work, and they are in the process. They have started with some of the branches to start with the upgrade. The other challenge that we experienced, particularly during the first week of cash swap, was the IT infrastructure. It was very slow. So we have improved our network connectivity so that it can deal with the workload. The issue of inadequate security, catching traffic and guarding, we are also increasing the capacity of service to service the additional beneficiaries. We have also requested SAPO to extend its contract for catching traffic so that it can cover the number. There's also undercapacitation of HR in SAPO branches. SAPO has already started with the process to appoint 2,600 people. Already so far, they have appointed more than 1,000 of the 755 that they have appointed by last week, but I think this week they've added the number. We also have insufficient cash at SAPO branches, and because it's risky to keep cash. So we are working on strategies to help SAPO to do the proper costing, so that we can do the numbers and the projections so that we only take the sufficient cash. But the other thing, the intention is not to keep a lot of money in the branches, but to have the cash in transit that puts the money into the branches, but in the same as we're doing it at cash pay point. So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but we are working on that strategy. The other thing is that we have had counter communication whereby CPF were telling beneficiaries that the old card is not going to be commission, and also telling them that they promote it's like when you go and communicate this, they'll go against it and communicate. And our counter strategy is that to intensify our communication strategy, but tax swap, let's do the tax swap, let's get beneficiaries to send the card, because once they have a tool that they deposit the money in, it makes life easy. And what we are intending is that this old card comes the 1st of October. SAPO will not deposit money into this card if people don't come to do the cash swap. So we are encouraging everyone so that even if CPS says it will be working, but SAPO will not be depositing money into this card. System response in terms of network and integration, we are working on that to improve the system capacity in terms of capacity, but we are also doing the offline card swap so that we can go and reconcile at the bank. But we put security measures in order to ensure that we don't end up doing the double dipping on fraudulent cards that are being issued. We are recommending the portfolio committee to note and support SASSA's plan to execute the migration of beneficiaries from the old SASSA card to the Green Road card, also to decommission pay points and the cash payment reduction plan and the alternative strategies that we are recommending for the 20 kilometers for beneficiaries who are residing outside the 20 kilometers in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. But before I can give over to the honourable members, I just want you to clarify for them so that when we are in the discussion at this point, much more clarified. The issue of the tender, you just went to it. You did not go to the details. I want you, before you can even give the honourable members, to give the details on the issue of the tender, on how are we going to move forward, whether we are still moving forward with the tender, or what's going to happen to the tender. That's the first thing. The second issue is the issue of the last issue that we talked about the CPS counter strategy and so on and so on. I think myself also as the chair, I didn't get much details on it. But look, we are a country that is just not working. There should be something that is supposed to be done when CPS counteracts the strategy that social development is putting forward or SASSA is putting forward. So I would really want to also on that matter to then give the members more details on the issue of the CPS. Basically because honorable members, the issue of CPS is very, very serious. What they are saying that CPS is out there trying to counteract the good thing that this government is pulling forward. Just yesterday, as part of our constituency, we received a message from Indawo Okuthwa in Gorwana in Derenek. What they are doing there, CPS is doing there, is charging the old age people for a card, 65 rand, to get a card. For a grant to support child, is charging people 30 rand for the card, for issuing of the card. I would really want, because apparently the councillor there and other leaders who are there, they reported the matter, and there was a SASSA person who was there, whom they requested to take the matter forward with the executive of SASSA, because it might happen that what CPS is doing, not only doing in that area, because it's targeting the rural areas. Remember, even targeting last week, he raised the matter that CPS is out there doing things that are not supposed to be done. For me, I believe what they are doing is wrong. It is wrong to charge that 65 rand that I don't understand myself what is the 65 rand about, which we want you to investigate the matter and give this portfolio committee a report on the matter that the CPS is busy doing, counteracting the strategy that is being put forward by government to make sure that the social assistance is received by beneficiaries. Can you also try to give us more details so that when members are discussing the matter, at least we have more details on the two issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the issue of the cash payment tender, after the Constitutional Court gave us an extension of the contract with CPS only for cash payment. At that time, we had already started with the evaluation processes of the cash payment tender award. But in the process, it came to light that there were quite a number of issues that the prospective bidders had raised. And that included their question of the information that was given to them in preparation for them to respond. And then at one point, they had asked quite a number of extensions of closing dates as well. But that having been said, the court had already determined that by the end of September, we should have finalized the issue of the cash payment tender. So, when, after reviewing all of those potential issues, the issues that the people were raising, then they also wrote to the minister and indicated that they got serious concerns and reservations about the process of this cash payment tender. Now, the risk management also looked at this and said, what are the potential, what is the potential that we can successfully award this tender? We came to a point that the chances of successfully awarding the tender without a protracted litigation were almost close to zero. So what we decided to do was to first suspend it and then after that cancel it. That is why, to compensate for the potential need to continue with cash payment in the current form, we then introduced the strategies that you highlighted here to say, we are going to encourage our beneficiaries to move to other alternative cash payment methods. This includes, yes, the bank, it includes SACO branches, it includes merchants, it includes mobile infrastructure that will be placed in those rural areas. It is for that reason that we believe that if we intensify the swapping of our people from the old single card that they were using to get their cash at the pay point, if we migrate them to the new SACO card, number one, number two, ensure that they find location of infrastructure that can enable them to encash their funds. But the residual group, which is about 789,000 beneficiaries, these are largely in the most rural areas. These are the ones that we will consider extreme measures, such as in consultation with the local community to locate them through the use of the social worker. If we cannot use procuration services, then we can look at the regulation 2425 to say, can we have institutions or even individuals that can assist to bring the services to those people. But along that was to consult extensively with the banking industry, with the retail industry and merchants to say, can they extend infrastructure for our people to access their funds? And there's a very good cooperation among these alliances that I've mentioned that are willing to invest and ensure that they actually are able to provide those services. However, if an extreme measure such as using the services and the assistance of the South African National Defence Force in the meantime, while we're sorting out the infrastructure issues, to take the money, assist us and SAPO to go and pay those beneficiaries, we shall do so. If we have to contract with local transport industry to take those few beneficiaries from those paid-for areas to the nearest infrastructure, be it a SAPO, a branch, or a NTS infrastructure, be it a mobile ATM, then we will do this arrangement. But our determination was that we will not allow the extension of the current CPS cash payment tender beyond September. So some of the measures are quite extreme, but we believe that this government cannot fail. We can actually reach out to our people. So between now and the end of July, we are aggressively intensifying the reaching out to our people, using the services, the alternative methods, but by the end of July, we will have a clear indication of what will be the residual, other than the one that you forecasted to say it's about 789. That number could actually be lower and will intensify bringing it further down. And we've also realized that our beneficiaries are quite mobile. Some of them, for example, the child care or child support plan, these are young mothers that are pretty mobile. They can go to a cash pay point after getting the money actually move to town to go and do whatever they need to do. So we are communicating with them. We targeted messaging to make sure that they utilize the close to them payment infrastructure other than the classical cash pay point places. But one needs to also mention that there has been an upsurge of cash in transit activities in the country. We cannot turn a blind eye to that. It will take one mad criminal to throw a bomb in a cash pay point assembly point where our beneficiaries are. We can imagine the disaster. So we are both thinking in terms of how best can we also protect our beneficiaries, because there is a risk that when they cannot be able to waylay or ambush the cash in front of them in the road, they can actually go exactly where they are assembling and cause the disaster there. So this is what we're taking into account when we propose this alternative cash payment methodology as government. And also, we have just had our first meeting with the National House of Traditional Leaders in Pretoria on Monday to assist that, to ask them to assist us in reaching out to these communities where there's potential risk of people not being able to be reached in terms of the infrastructure. And there was an overwhelming support from the traditional leaders in the country. And I think they will be going along with us in trying to make sure that we change the payment methodology of grants in the country. And last part, Madam Chair, you asked about the counter strategy. In fact, as late as this morning, we have issued a correspondence to the Executive Regional Management saying they actually do the monitoring of exactly what distortion messages and activities happen at cash pay points. As I'm speaking now, we also picked up that there were other attempts, and these are allegations, we're still waiting for information, whereby it was said that the payment cycle is shifted a bit, brought forward, so that people can be enticed to go. But when they get there, they get told, if you don't have a credit card, you can't get your money, wait for another 2-3 days when SASSA, you know, cycle will come in. You know, those kind of things. We are very much, it's alleged. I don't want to go on record as having said that is happening, but it's an allegation that came from informal sources. We are investigating. But we want to say that if needs be, we will use our intelligence services of the country to actually go and monitor what are our beneficiaries being told, you know, because we can fight in competition world, but these are people. We cannot use them as chess pawns. And therefore, we are definitely intensifying that. We have said to our regional executive managers this morning that if needs be, we will definitely take a legal action if there's proof. And in certain areas, we ask them to record the discussion or the threats that are being made to our pensioners. And we know as soon as we get that, we'll definitely take legal action. I think as government, we have got what it takes to rid of this state that's been captured by private sector people. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that supplementary information. All I remember, this was just the supplementary information to give up the whole report. So now I am going to note your hand. We'll open up the floor for discussion. We're going to follow the same pattern of technique, and everything, so that we make sure that all the questions of the members are answered. Can I started noting Honorable Madoka while I was speaking in her head, but up, it's going to be Honorable Madoka. And then for this one, I'm going to start with Honorable Lizelle. So the last one, let me give her the second, and then Honorable Masango, Honorable Bebeli, Honorable Mamsonti, I'm only having those 5 minutes, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, I'm going to ask her when she comes in, because when I close Honorable Members, the session of discussion, so we have been moving quite well with the social development, so I hope that the same strategy that we followed, we are still going to follow the same 10-minute strategy with all the discussions and the questions that we will be asking Honorable Members. Honorable Madoka, where is your...
Presentation that is very clear and promising that they are moving forward, although they are saying. I wanted on what you raised to say it needs to be investigated, so it is don't know how does CPF come in the card production, let alone to charge people. Because the responsibility of production of the card was told it was SACO, although SACO before was skeptical to say that they don't have capacity. You know, but at the end of the day, they are dealing with it. I don't know, Chair, what is the role of CPF now when we are phasing it out, its contract? Because really, you have made a progress around the tax limit. But what is the role of CPF? Really, it's scary if they can continue to, if it is true, because we are not sure it's allegations, that they are continuing to put their finger on what SASA is trying to do to the beneficiary. I think I agree with you, Chair, that it needs to be investigated, and if they use the intelligence of the country, do so. Because this thing of counteracting what the government is doing is really unacceptable. Because these are the people that really make the problem for government. People come from government, and if it's government that is having a problem, but they are trying to do this. So I know that in a capitalist country, people always have this challenge that they are facing.
I think to add on that, on the issue of in your investigation must also end, because the allegations also are saying, they are claiming that now they are going to be a bank.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have got answers on that one, can you really ask that also if this CPF is a bank or they are going to be a bank? Because that's what they are saying, it's the beneficiary is out there. And honorable members, I think when we are doing this when we are doing our assessment work in the constituency work, we must also go to these pay point areas and be able to test what is being presented to us by the members of the community out there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think at the moment, CPS has got no role in card production. Card production is a competency of SAPO. But obviously, they might be having reserves of the previous green card that they had already. So these are the cards that they use to let the people to take. If a person comes there, and then they give them that card. But in terms of card production going forward, the new SAPO card, SAPO card, is actually produced by SAPO. So they do not really have a role in that card production value chain. But they're probably using the reserves that they always have. Probably they have anticipated that they will continue under the services beyond a certain point. So they might see the stock that they kept in stock. And I do agree that the investigation, although we can't, you know, say a lot about it here, but definitely the investigation has been planned, of course, to make sure that we assemble all the information, including the charges that the chairperson spoke about, of 1,800, 1,600, and so on. Once that information is assembled, we'll make sure that the correct action is taken by government, because definitely it is undermining government to distort information that government has pronounced on, and particularly targeting the people that may not necessarily have the level of understanding of what's happening. But all must happen is that once their money seems to be under threat, they actually can very much consent and worry. So they are easy targets, as it were. And I think it's our duty as government to protect our people, and we'll take those measures and use all the pockets of state to counter this particular dishonest dealing with our beneficiaries, as it were.
Thank you, Honourable Madoka. I think as a portfolio committee, you would have to make a recommendation, a comment to the relevant structure on what needs to be done as soon as possible. Honourable Mkosi, you were out when I was noting the hands. I don't know whether you are covered. You don't have any questions. Thank you very much, Honourable. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And just on that last point, this issue of the fake news and the disinformation campaign that CPS is driving, it's actually very serious, because not only are the messages going out that card is not expiring, there are also these fake SMSs going around that saying that the card is expiring now and you've got to rush yourself to the SASSA office or the post office, and people are panicking. I once went on a radio station and I gave my email address and my cell phone number. So I am a SASSA official as well, because all the complaints come to me and I try to assist as much as I can. But Chairperson, let's just be serious for a moment. We've spoken about this on countless occasions. We need a full parliamentary inquiry into CPS and their dealings in our country, because they've violated a number of laws. They have infringed on the human rights of our most vulnerable. They have violated the National Consumer Protection Act, the National Credit Act, many other acts. And a full parliamentary inquiry into the dealings and the business, unethical business practices of this company is needed. So when we do discuss this as a committee, we actually cannot let CPS just exit without any repercussions. We as members of parliament have got a duty to hold this company to account. We commend SASSA that they're moving so fast. I mean, it actually amazes me that for so many years we were not able to insource payments, and within a few months you were able to do it yourself. So it again speaks to something that is very rotten with the relationship that there was or existed between CPS and some individuals. But I want to ask, also in my dealings with some grant recipients, we see some complaints that some branches, SAPA branches and SASSA branches, don't have the new cards. So I wanted to know whether you've received any of such complaints, that there are some branches that don't have any of the new cards available. There were also some complaints, where people are saying that, you know, when they go into the branches, there are very long queues, and some of the SASSA officials are not very helpful, and I think I'll forward some of those complaints to you. I wanted to ask, in terms of your negotiations with National Treasury for them to subsidize the banking fees, for all banks, how far are we and when can we expect some feedback in this regard? Because that 10 rand that is being deducted from pensioners, people are really crying about that 10 rand and they cannot afford it. So I need to know, where are you in terms of your negotiations with Treasury so that we can subsidize that 10 rand? I want to say lastly that, you know, listening to your cash payment plan, one has to commend it, because we want to see the end of CPS, we want to see the back of CPS, we want a full parliamentary inquiry. So one has to support your cash plan that you've outlined. However, it really, for me, I feel a bit worried, because, for example, in 5 months, you need to implement 3 pillars, and that is that the post office must have mobile cash points, which again, when you spoke earlier about criminals, those are going to be a target for criminals, those mobile cash machines. You spoke about ferrying people with local transport to cash payment points. And you talked about involving the SANDF. It sounds like a massive operation to get into place in 5 months. And I'm just sort of feeling that, you know, while one wants to support your plan and say, you know, 100% go for it, it seems that there are too many things that can go wrong in this plan. It doesn't feel like a foolproof plan. Whereas if we went the tender route, you know, we probably would have had one service provider who was able to pay out the cash. Now we're relying on 3 different elements, all of which can be compromised. So I'm just... how certain are you that we will be able to pull this off in 5 months?
Thank you very much for having me there. Can we get the answer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask supposedly the head of legal services to talk about the subsidy of charges. But with regard to the issue of stock levels at SASSA offices or SASSA SAPO offices, yes, there was a point that there were stock level issues. I have a teleconference every Monday to national roll call and just get update. It didn't feature this outgoing Monday that there were such, but we'll investigate those. Those could be sporadic incidents where there was a shortage of cars in the particular offices. And then the issue of long queues, there was a problem with regard to systems response times. That included our verification mechanism with the integrated justice system, whereby the system during the day was really clogged because of the high number of all of a sudden verification of biometric images via the IJS system. we are working on a solution. We are quite at an advanced stage whereby the verification can be done in batches overnight, just like you need to systems maintenance overnight. So we're working towards that, and we show that we should be able to alleviate the clocking of the system for verification overnight. And I'll ask this person to respond on the one on subsidy. But before then, there's an issue of when the honourable member says, how confident are we in the plan, these alternatives that you put forward here? There are certain elements that you cannot really go in detail in terms of exactly what else will be done, and this includes for security reasons. But we do believe that yes, every plan has a risk. A foolproof plan doesn't exist anywhere. So we believe that with the assistance of the communities that we work with, as I indicated, with the traditional leaders, with the local councillors, we'll find some other ways of expediting and making sure that the plan materializes. But as government, we cannot say we are not going to be able to do it.
The issue of subsidies come up very often without interaction with the brands and retailers. And the issue of the subsidy has come up several times when we discuss with the banks, the retailers, and the panel of experts. You will recall that we have never subsidized before, but we are paying transaction fees to CPF. So because we are an implementing agency and not a policy department, we have drafted a memo that is on the table of the CEO. Yes, it went last night to be signed for the, we are raising the issue with the department. So the department can, in consultation with National Treasury, take a decision around this issue. Because it's not for SASA to make that decision on a subsidy. I hope this clarifies the issue.
Thank you for the answer. The question wasn't really about, I know that SASA is not an implementing agency and that the policy directive must come from National Treasury, but I was just asking in terms of where we are in terms of the process of addressing it. But I think since it's now only in draft form, we will be kept updated in terms of the progress of the negotiations with Treasury. Thank you.
I think the Social Development is also here. Now that we have that in the fact, you should also start initiating the process. Because you are hearing it, that SASA can't do it. You are the ones that are supposed to be doing it in collaboration with the different children. So you must begin to initiate the process. I think I was there to the thing. I didn't have yet. Okay. Thank you. Are all the questions answered in there?
Thank you.
Okay.
Can we then move forward to
another one? Thank you, Acting Chair. I think some of the questions that I wanted to ask have been asked already by my colleagues, and thank you for the information. It really has helped a lot. The question that I want to ask is just dovetails on the issue of the 10 rand, because one gets on a daily basis so many emails and WhatsApp and SMSs about this. When the minister was here the last time, I believe, she mentioned that Grindrod took 10 rand on their own. And the minister said, we are challenging this. I would like to know how far the challenge is and what are likely results for the people from whom this 10 rand has been taken. Also, another question that I wanted to ask was this seems to be a lot of confusion, also just getting from constituent work that one does and the communication that one gets about the where the beneficiaries have to go to either swap or apply or whatever. I just want to know about the number of trips that need to be taken by a beneficiary and what does it entail, what should they take with them, and things like that. I mean, there are scary things where people are being charged by opportunists. They charge them money for them giving them forms. It's very scary out there. And beneficiaries who are already vulnerable are being rendered even more vulnerable. And also, the the other question I wanted to ask here is, are there still CPF people in SASSA offices? Because there used to be people within SASSA offices where you were told that that desk belonged to a CPF person, even for this portion of CPF that's still happening until September. What one would like to know is that, because that could also be an opportunity that they are using to do the counter marketing that they are doing to the people. And lastly, Che, one appreciates a lot this timeline that has been given here, and as the acting CEO has said, the intention and the work that is being done is towards ensuring that this timeline works, although there is no foolproof plan. But now, the issue that one hears this morning about the looming strike of SASSA employees, I mean, at such a critical time, one would like to know, I mean, I know it might have been something that just broke this morning as one heard it, but what are the issues there? Is SASSA, what is the status? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Matang. Can you respond?
No, I will ask with regard to the issue of Green Road, how far we are. Indeed, the challenge has commenced, but we will respond to that. And then I'll ask SSI to respond on the issue of the swap trips and the forms, and also with regard to the whether there's still people in certain areas or offices of SAPO, of SASSA, or CTS people there. And then I'll just quickly touch on the issue of the looming strike. Yes, we are aware that there is a looming strike, but the matter as it is now, we are still discussing, and we should be able to make certain pronouncements upon our discussion. I think it's premature now to say exactly where we are, but we are definitely engaging in this regard. Well, the attitude that we have is that whatever differences that there may be, here it is citizens that may be affected. And this is our parent. So whether you are a member of organized labor or an employee, that doesn't matter. If a strike happens and it affects your mother, she's gone or he's gone. So we are working together to discuss and make sure, hopefully, that we'll get some under the common ground to avert the disaster that may happen.
Thank you again,
Chair,
Honourable Member. We have sent the issue of Green Rocks to our attorneys who are dealing with it. The last letter that we received from Greenwood, they said they were still consulting with their attorneys. But I can just assure the members that this is one thing we're not going to take lying now, because they even requested a meeting, but we wanted to know what is the subject matter of the meeting, because this is about the fees themselves. We need to bring along our attorneys as well, because they made a promise that they were going to charge the beneficiary 691, and they changed to 10 rand without any notification. And we felt that they are the highest charging a bank when we compare with other banks. So that is why we're not going to let this one go down without a fight.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. The issue on the card swap. For June, we're really focusing on the card swap at the cash pay points, because the priority is to get our cash beneficiaries into the new card. There are certain sites, and particularly like the weekend blitzes that we're doing in certain areas, where anybody in the community is being told, if you're using the current white SASSA card, come in to get your new SASSA card. The SASSA card is not yet available at all of the post offices. They are still rolling out the equipment and everything to be able to do it. And as soon as that is available, then people will be able to go at their leisure. I say at their leisure, but within this period, to go and get a card, the new card at those post offices as well. In terms of what they need to take with them, all they need to take with them is their current SASSA card and their ID document. And also there is no need for them to take the children with who get the grant, who they receive the grant for. We only need the person who actually collects the grant to come in. So just the existing card and the ID document, and then the swap will be done. If anybody gets reports of people charging beneficiaries to do the card swap or charging them to get any forms to enable a transfer into a bank account, please let us know immediately where it's happening so that we can go in and investigate and put a stop to it.
Thank you, Chair.
there is no charge for the service. It is part of what we have to do. And it's not a charge from SASSA, and there's not a charge from SAPO, and there's no charge for the card. So please, if you get those reports, let us know immediately. With regard to the question on whether there are CPS staff in our local offices, we've got a total of 389 local offices. Currently, we only have a CPS presence in a total of 185 of the local offices. And the only reason we've kept them there in those specific offices is because those are the offices where the majority of the people still use biometrics to access their money, so they still go to the pay points. And if the money is already in the old SASSA card and that card doesn't work or they lose it, we need to be able to replace the card for them to be able to access that money. If the money has been withdrawn and they lose the card, we're giving them the new SASSA card straight away. So it's an extremely limited service that the CPS staff are allowed to do in those offices. They're no longer doing any biometric enrollments. They are no longer issuing new cards to beneficiaries. And they're not taking on, we're not allowing any new applicants to choose cash as an option. They've got to immediately get the new card. So we've really limited what they're doing, and we are constantly revising this list of the 185 offices to be able to get the CPS staff out of the offices completely. We're hoping that by the end of July, we should not have a CPS presence in our office at all, and all they will be doing will be servicing the cash pay points. Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that they will not be there, because I didn't take one of the cash pay point areas and the offices in the cabin. And they were there, and they were still waiting, getting our people to join, because they were just believe that they are there. I think one of the core members, what we need to do, all the queries that we have, the areas exactly where these things are happening, we can then forward them, perhaps to our secretary here, forward them to SASSA, so that they can be able to go to those areas and physically verify. Even during the request period, their lines will be open, honorable members, for us to call them. It would be nice if we call them on the site when we are doing this our work. When we see all these problems, we call them, they come down, because they are also almost in every corner in South Africa. Then they see exactly what CPS is doing, but it's our belief that what they are doing is wrong. It's a belief that what they are doing is wrong. We've got the SASSA legislation that tells us exactly who is supposed to be doing that. Yes, over the years we had problems, that's why we ended up having them in as people who are giving out the cash payment. But now when we are taking that to us and doing exactly what the Constitution requires us to do, we cannot have people that are going to step us in the role of making sure that the cash payment is fully taken by government, whether it's any institution of government. Honourable members, we are on honourable basis.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thanks again for the presentation. I've got a few questions, and if I see pardon me, because the lady wasn't looking at. Will all beneficiaries have the option of the council withdrawal for CPS out? If they go to SAPO, can they go send their fees that will be the same as going to an ATM? And then also, regarding CPS official card, I know the FCCO gets response, but again, who authorized them to still continue issuing cards? And then also, you mentioned that SAPO is responsible for the card. But who are producing this card? Besides them just issuing the card, who are producing the card? Who are manufacturing these cards? Is it a tender system that we don't know about? Because, Honorable Acting Chairperson, we sit here and I just want to go back to the last page where SASSA is asking us to note and support the plan. Now, we'd love to do all that, but then just as we leave this room, we see social media saying what they have done, what they're going to do. So we support claims, but it changes immediately. And we are scared to actually do the supporting part. It looks like we're not doing our oversight part. Yes, this is from my note. Then can the new card be utilized at all chain stores besides the merchant? The merchant sounds like in the olden days, you're a merchant selling other stuff besides good stuff. Some of the ones in the department is mentioned. People go to any store, can they utilize their card? And are there any charges involved if they utilize the card in any of these stores, if they don't want to utilize the merchant? And then in terms of the September deadline, I'm concerned, Honorable Acting Chairperson, that there may be beneficiaries that won't make it for the September deadline. And we know how vulnerable our people are. They do need, they wait for their date. Maybe such a grant will be paid up. How will we handle that to make sure that everybody will receive their funds when they need to receive it? In terms of the rural areas, where merchants is mainly utilized in the absence of SACO, are there any charges involved again? And just for information, my constituency is watching us alive as well, and they posted most of these questions. They say they're watching the group. They don't always get an opportunity to be in Parliament, so anybody there, other constituencies, please listen carefully. And how can the department prevent mothers from abusing grants, purchasing food, and if they buy anything else besides food? Also, how can the department assist the mothers not to go to loan sharks, if they put it, the money lenders? I don't think there's any assistance there. This is also from the constituency. How will the department assist, this is a direct question, all money lenders in our communities at houses having ATM machines and keeping our books, I'm just open brackets and close brackets, and they're keeping their SACO books, their ID books, they're keeping their SACO cards, their SACO cards. How can the department assist to close down all these people operating within the communities, not in the secret place, but in communities, openly operating, they are asking for help, please. Then I've asked this before, communication again, social media. We see social media, this is not true. So we'd like, Sata, to please communicate with us as soon as they release something that we also know, so we can communicate with our constituencies. And when we see something via social media in whatever way, in form, even print media or radio, sometimes local radio stations also announce it, that if we send out something that's authentic and that we also don't respond to, because it goes viral within minutes. thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, I will ask Diane to take the first batch of questions because it has to do with the grants and the... But the one with regard to card production, the contract that we awarded to SAPO had the part of the contract of card production. And I know that they have outsourced the card production. I think the card might be produced some overseas, they are shipped into the country. But for now, what I do know is that the function to produce cards was outsourced to SAPO, and I think they work with a service provider to them to produce those cards. But the rest of the questions with regard to the grant operations, I'll ask Diane to respond to them.
Thank you, Chairperson. And honourable members, the question about whether beneficiaries have the option of over-the-counter withdrawal at post offices, yes, they do. The card will facilitate the over-the-counter withdrawal where they would be able to get cash, understanding that they are going to stand in a queue. Or they can use an ATM within the post office infrastructure or any other banking infrastructure or point-of-sale devices to be able to access their money. The question around who authorised CPS to continue issuing cards, CPS is no longer issuing the SASSA card. Where people lose their card, when they come and report it to SASSA, they are immediately given the new card if they want to continue receiving their grant in that card, or they then tell us that they want to get it in their bank account. So it's a choice that they have. I think we need to distinguish between CPS in partnership with Grindrod as a private bank opening easy pay accounts and issuing those cards. Those are things that SASSA does not control. We can only control the issuing of the SASSA card. But if people choose to open an easy pay account and get the green card, then they need to follow the same process as any other beneficiary who requests to have money paid into their personal bank account. And that means they are saying, I know this is the personal bank account, I have taken it voluntarily, I want my money to be paid into this account, so SASEC, here is my mandate form to give you the authority to do so. And they need to follow that process. There is no shortcut. And that is because we're not operating as a commercial bank in that space. If people choose to have those accounts, we would honour their request. But CPS is certainly not issuing or continuing to issue the old SASA card. It's only the new card that is being issued, and that is being issued by SASA. Whether the card can be used anywhere, any store, anything. The new card is a debit card. It is backed by Visa, so it can be used anywhere where Visa is accepted. It is a special disbursement account, so there are restrictions on the card. For example, this new account does not allow any EFT debits or stop orders. So as we roll that out and get rid of the old card, that problem is going to stop. We put in those restrictions specifically because we're saying this card is specifically for the payment of social grants and therefore it needs to protect our beneficiaries. So it has those kind of restrictions, but other than that it can be used anywhere. It is a debit card, so as long as there is money on the card, it can be used to purchase goods at any store. It's not only the few that used to be used, like the boxes in the shop racks and so on. It can be used at any store for purchases or for cash withdrawals, for asking for cash back.
I hope it's not used in this
We were trying very hard to put a restriction on there, but at this stage it's Visa endorsed and there are some things that we can't control. So we will continue working on those kinds of things, but it is not a block at this stage. The other thing that I wanted to say about the card in terms of the cost, if a person uses the new card to withdraw cash from a bank ATM, there is going to be a small charge. And that is because it is related to the interbank fees, again, which we can't control. It's related to the banking infrastructure and the costs there. So there will be a cost, but it will not be the kind of cost that we've seen for bank charges in the past. Also to say that there is no account maintenance fee on the new SASA card, like the 10 rand that people are paying now, which is the account maintenance fee, because it is covered in terms of the agreement between us and the post office. So we pick up those costs for the new SASA card. So it really is in everybody's interest who's using the old SASA card currently to get their grant to swap to the new one as soon as they possibly can. It reduces costs, it gives some protection, they can use it anywhere, the money will be deposited into that account, it will be available on the first of the month, like the old card, and they can then withdraw the money or use the card whenever and wherever they want to. That's the stores, any stores, rural areas, urban areas, whatever, that accept Visa would be able to honor the card and either let it be used for the purchase of goods and services or to do cashback. Provided, obviously, that store has the cash to be able to give it back. And I think those are just the kind of mechanics of working within the national payment system. Some of the questions like how we can prevent mothers who receive grants from using the money that we give them for anything else other than food or for the benefit of the children, or how can we stop beneficiaries from going to money lenders is extremely difficult. We're giving people money, we put in the protection that we can, how they use that is really up to them. However, we are saying, and the legislation does support us, to say that if anybody is aware of a social grant being abused in any way, in that it's been used to buy liquor instead of food for the children, or that it's been used for all other things and not supporting the children when it's a child grant, please those need to be reported so that we can actually then investigate and if necessary find somebody to administer the grant on behalf of the children and make sure that it's used in their best interest. But for us to put a stop on it is extremely difficult. Exactly the same as with the money lenders who operate in communities from the local houses. What we can say is for any money lender to retain an ID document or a SASA card is illegal. It is not allowed. So where it is known that it is happening, please report it. And together with the law enforcement agencies, we definitely do follow up on that. We do have staff who work very closely with the law enforcement agencies and who, where this information is reported, go out and do a blitz and will go and confiscate the cards and arrest the money lenders and so on. But we really rely on the community information that comes through in order to be able to help us to do that. Okay, I think those were all the grant-related ones. Thank you very much, Chair.
The other one, Chairperson, was with regard to the communication, social media account, strategies and so on. We definitely have our communication on that because it definitely happens, from time to time. But we've taken the comment that we'll do as quickly as we can to ensure that the authentic message is actually communicated to all the people as urgently as possible.
We ended up ourselves as honourable members now fighting with the information that this is the correct one, that we got in the portfolio committee, there is this one in social media. That tries to be consistent in communicating your information from SASA. Honourable Dave, we've got a minute left if you still have anything.
Thank you, Speaker Dave, and thank you.
Thank you, Ma'am. Yes, I'd like to thank the officials for the response. Especially the EasyPay one. This is a concern wherever you go to game office in EasyPay wherever you go. And the EasyPay one is the one where actually people get the loans from and so on. So we'd like to also work on getting rid of the system of the loans. Because that is people say you don't understand, we need extra money, but it's not right. And that's really interesting. So maybe with the restrictions on the account and no EFT and so forth. What about the funeral scheme that people have on the account? And then also the swipe and go. I've noticed on your new card, Chairman, from Salami quickly. The swipe and go. That is very dangerous. I know myself all the time. I don't like it personally because you swipe and you go. No, nothing is up. And then if you lose your card, you'll be in trouble. So what if a goggle loses the card and somebody picks it up and goes with you swipe and go? How can we avoid the swipe and go on such a card?
That you always make call at the end when I'm talking about her time is up for questioning, so she used the other time to avoid mom from the last bank that in case it was moved from mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the Chairperson? What is bad? Panelists, it was the new rules of the comment. One by one. But the attendance will open the local singer, present a one or suppose they enjoy the selling it with you so that my attendance is not as in your back. But you go, who can and the leg, check the thing. The transcendent is in your back and go. Yeah, she's a leg, put your song. Making donate cash payment system. And I'm born and I think, okay, now to the longer than figure three cash payment system. Fit the corruption payment system. The CPS. Because why the children are. And I
think
CPS. Corruption payment system. But let's see this scandal. Okay, we have the idea. Go back and look and ask Kunga Kana and Kunini who turned on a little A1 and I did not. Pagatiko in two. Pagatikum Pagati. Pagati with the song. Hope we are young and enjoy the Galucha person. But the CPS. Ku affecteka abantu bakuthi kabuhlungu. Ezi mali zithathwayo kwaba bantu ingekho phofu ingabonakali kwayona iphinde futhi ithathwe ngale ndlela ethethwa ngayo sasiwayendisithi
I say your cash payment and what say corruption that then. So then the tender thing by get combo the lenses are with a car. This are with a book by an icon and gain and on or a cowless layo. Ebalulekileyo angathi athethiswe ngayo lo sithethi. But ke izithethi esezithethile nje ngokokubana inzame zikhona. But ezi nzame kudala zikhona akudeske kuphumelele. Even nalo August bathetha ngayo mna ndiva ndisolika andinalo ithemba because u-CPS ungumjoko. Ilizwe lonke lilidiniwe uyaqonda. Sekuvakala noba ngoku ngenzeka nezitrike. Into ezibuhlungu ezo because xa kuzawutsha kustrayikhelwa into zemali zabantu abadala kukhona nokulimala ngeendaba zestrayikhi. Istrayikhi asinamarizalti amahle okokuqala. Kuzawufa abazali, kulimale abantu abangenatyala. So ndibuhlungu kakhulu yile nto. I wish ideske ibe iyadlula indaba ka-CPS because lo CPS kudala ithathwa le mali kuba kwinto zama-airtime. Uve kuthi khehleka zithathele i-airtime alinayo nditsho nefowuni yokufowuna but i-airtime yona iyahamba. Lithathele i-electricity alinayo nombane endaweni elihlala kuyo but imali ye-electricity ihambile. I-wealth ke ngoku tshepesini uvela nendaba yama-65 rand nama-30 zibuhlungu zonke ezi zinto ba-corrupted ngolona hlobo. Ndithetha ngo-CPS khanizame kangangoko nenako adede nkosi yam.
So, Mamsundi, you were left with 7 minutes. In that 7 minutes, I'm just going to allow them to answer the honorable chair. And then, Mama, daughter, if there's still time on the 7 minutes, I'm going to give over to you to let up whatever that you want to make. Because I want to be consistent with my principles, honorable member. The principle has been clear, we agreed about it, that 10 minutes break, but because I'm taking the opportunity that time on Mam Sundi, we had a lot of time. So Mamu Dev would answer and then we move.
Father Chair, I cannot say why I'm saying that the CPS must be the corruption payment. They must know. Nabata you buy the 22 times. Buy you must tell you now. Please, Sundi Dodge.
Sorry, Chair, the other one around the consumer, the easy pay and the loans. I think as much as we understand the concerns being raised by the members, the members also need to understand that that is a commercial bank product which people voluntarily take, and we can't go and get involved in that one. We can make sure that there is compliance with the process if people want to be paid into that account, that they understand what they're asking for, but that is where our responsibility has to end.
Without any hassle. With those few words,
Thank you very much for the presentation. And we hope that you keep on having communication with us. Do update your numbers to the honorable members so that they can get you. And please try to respond to the questions or to whatever that the honorable members are asking you to respond. We are going to be away for almost 2 months. So in that 2 months, let's keep the communication on the matter of SASA going on. Thank you everybody that has been here for the whole day. So honorable members, we've got a lunch that is prepared for us. I'm going to request that the honorable members should be the one that gets the lunch. And then I will propose to the honorable members that we have a working lunch. We take our lunch, we come in, we continue with our community business. Thank you.
I'm not
sure.
After scared,
Thank you.